Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunned Granny Audio 335. This is Kevin. On the other end, again, is Shahid. How are you doing, sir?
All things considering, I guess I'm doing okay.
Well, it did get my amusement right before we started here that you were not exactly excited after reading my recap. To watch the final 2 hours and 20 minutes of Raw before doing the show.
Yeah, that's to put it mildly.
Yeah, and I was saying, I guess the other end of it that started it too was just the fact that, honestly, like, I know I watched it, and I mean, I kind of crammed it, but it was easy to cram. My brother was in town, so that took precedence over watching Raw. And yeah, it didn't seem to really matter. Like I actually looked at my write-up and I'm like, that is incredibly short. Like
And there's
that.
a reason, like, after recapping and watching it, I'm like, was the length it needed to be? Because even though it was a 3 hour show, not a lot of things really happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I talked about it a little bit last week about how nothing was happening. And yeah, it was kind of strange, even with Vince McMahon on the show. It still didn't feel like a whole lot was happening. I did find myself at the end of the night wondering where the hell Bray Wyatt was.
Maybe he saw the script and he's like, you know what, I don't want to deal with Brooke. Oh, and I want to, before we even go into it, I need to state something.
Oh,
But
okay.
it was something I was thinking about when I was watching the show, and it's been bothering me, and I'm like, I have me through the show to talk about it. Brooklyn, go fuck yourselves. I can't stand that Brooklyn crowd that are seasonal bread. Mustache, super IPA beer, hipster nonsense. Like, you and Ken were talking about Oprah, like, are you hipsters? No, because you aren't assholes. But hipsters are, and like, that first promo, they're chanting for CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Like, this is still a thing. Like, you're chanting for one guy that's hurt and may never wrestle again, and chanting for another guy who left and chose a different career. Like, they're not showing up. So, what you want to be here? Oh, we chanted CM Punk. Like, yeah, that's. It's so 2014. Like, I thought we got that out of our system. They're still doing that shit. And it just irked me to no end. When I know how I kind of feel when the crowd wants to make themselves a joke because it's the cool thing. Like, oh, we're Brooklyn. This is how we do. We got to be no because they don't damage any. I remember when Brooklyn Malls came from Brooklyn. This is what we got from Brooklyn now. Like, 90s rent. Brooklyn was used to be something completely different than it is now. Brooklyn is people wearing cotton gins in their backyard because they want to be back in the day. They don't want slaves. Like, no. So, okay, I'm done my rant.
Yeah, I guess I completely forgot about them being big idiots at the beginning of the night with those dueling chants. Because it did seem like for other purposes I don't feel like Roman Reigns got that good of a reception the last time he was in Brooklyn, and kind of we brought up last week with Philadelphia how he got how he got over on them, but it seemed like the Brooklyn crowd, once they were done being asses, were cheering for him.
Yeah, that's true. Like, once they got that whole Brooklyn thing out their system, they were cheering. Like, when they were actually watching the show, but too many times they don't watch the show. They just
Oh.
want to be part of the show. And it's like stuff's going on, they don't care. And the same thing happened, I know we're talking about, same thing happened later on the Divas match. Like, they complain it's not like NXT. They give these women time and they're not even watching the match. They're chanting boring or they just want to do their little chant till the end. Like, you say you want NXT, but you really don't want NXT. You like the idea of it, not the reality.
Well, I did feel like there was something funky about that match. I don't know why it seemed to come off so clunky to me. I both of them are good in the ring. I feel like I've seen them be good with each other in the ring. So I was a little confused, honestly, by the match quality.
Yeah, it felt the same. Like, they were... I think the biggest thing was I guess they made a point, like, you know, if Becky Lynch wins, she might get a title shot and stuff. And they kind of hyped it a little bit, but it just seemed like it was... They tried to make the match important. They gave Becky Lynch, you know, an interview before the match. They gave Sasha Banks mic time, you know, when they came out for the entrance to get a heat. It was just something that seemed off. Like, they were working hard, and it just, I think part of it was just the crowd didn't give a damn to the end.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, that does have an influence on things, even when you try to separate the two. But, yeah, it's just kind of weird because they still haven't, they haven't done a good job of filling in Sasha Banks yet, at least on the WWE TV portion of things, not NXT. Because, I mean, they seem like they're sticking with the same character, but I just feel like they've been relegated too much. And, I mean, that was one of the reasons why it was hard to make the match feel important in this case.
Yeah, I think they've been lazy with Sasha Banks. They've been telling us, like, you know, Sasha Banks is special because of all the NXT stuff, and, like, fans know that. But when she's on a Raw roster, they haven't told her why, you know, why she's special on Raw. Oh, because she did this in NXT, and the fans like her. Well, why? Oh, they had that great match on NXT. Well, what about Raw and SmackDown? Like, you know, why is she... They don't say why she's important on the main roster. They keep doing her whole NXT thing and not building on it. So, like, they're half-assing and been consistently keeping her out of the, you know, that main event thing with the females, because it's like, well, we don't want to put the belt on her, but we know fans are going to chant, so we don't want her hijacking matches. Like, it's kind of like they want to have their cake and eat it too. Like, we want you to chant for Sasha Banks, but we really don't want you to chant for her.
Yeah.
It was one time, and I don't remember if you remember, it was kind of when... Right after she had the match with the second her rematch with Bayley on NXT, and they made a big deal about it on Raw, like the next Raw and everything like that, saying, "Oh, you know, this is why she's cheered and everything like that." And like, she's a heel, and then they just ignore, and then they got mad when they start chanting for Sasha Banks. I'm like, you went out your way to tell people how awesome she is, and they get mad when they treat her that she's awesome.
I mean, I don't know what they expected to happen, honestly. That I hadn't thought about how funny those two events coincided. But I now thinking about it, they really did. So yeah, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I mean, they keep on positioning them as heels and having them cheat, and well, and it just continues to drive me bananas that what the shit was that about the the Team Bad is an awesome team, but every other Divas team has to break up. Like, it's just that continued announcer problem that I have. It just drives me up a wall how terrible they are.
Well, I'm used to it by now. It's kind of like white noise, like how, because it's part of it because of when I watch NBA League Pass. And it's funny when you don't, it's funny when you watch national broadcasts and then you watch the local ones, like how bad the local ones are. Some of them are just the dirt ass worst, but you never really notice unless you watch the game. That's how Raw is. Like, I just treat them like they're just some local announcing that's just, because Cole, he tries, and it's easy to bag on him, but, you know, he's there with, you know, with handcuffs on, because he has to call this certain style that Vince tells him to do, and it doesn't help that he has two anchors on both sides, because JB is there getting checks, and Byron Saxton is there to, you know, look pretty.
I actually haven't had that much of a problem with Cole. And I think that was one of the few notes that I remembered seeing in my review, that I was like, well, I'll at least give Cole points for trying on that one, because it was some asinine thing that was happening that in no way. Oh, it was when he was saying that Kevin Owens' head hit the mat, and that's why Neville was able to pin him so easily.
Yeah, I read that and laughed before I saw the match, and then I saw the match, and I'm like, God bless you, Cole, but yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, as much as I did used to hate him, like, as far as the announcing hate goes, like, I do think that Michael Cole is, you know, at the bottom of that list of three announcers on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing it long enough where he's competent. Like, he's not great, but no one, you know, that whole, I think people stop comparing him to Jim Ross because Jim Ross hasn't been there so long. So it's like, you know, he's just been there. It's like he's average, and he can still call matches, like good matches, when he has the ability, when they allow him to do it. But you know, he don't have, like, you know, like people say, oh, well, you know, Booker T's so horrible. At least Booker T said something, even though a lot of times it was ridiculous. Like, Byron Saxton barely talks. Like, he jumps in every, I don't know if he's nervous or they don't give him a leeway, because NXT was fine. But, you know, the smaller pond, like Raw, he's just there, and he'll just, you know, sternly look at JBL when JBL says something stupid, because JBL doesn't realize if he wants to be a heel, color commentary, or face. Like, he'll just change whenever, based on whatever drink he has that day.
Yeah. He certainly drives me up the wall probably the most. I guess I'll deal with the near silence from Byron Saxton a little bit easier. But, yeah, I guess I'm trying to maybe move back to the match itself. I just don't understand what good that does to anybody.
Oh, you're talking about
Kevin Owens and Neville match?
I think that's just a setup to show how insane Kevin Owens is since he lost that belt. And it's kind of like, you know, now he's this lunatic that's just going to destroy everybody. Because that's the only reason that finish makes sense. You know, like, he's still mad about he lost the belt. He's mad. He's making this big deal about this damn slammy, like, oh, Neville's breakout star. He's screaming at, like, I should have been breakout star out there to vote. No, for him, like, who gives a rat's ass about a slammy? But he does, like, enough to put people through tables.
Yeah, I guess they were telling that story somewhat well. I guess I still don't want to see Owens lose that easily. Like, they've done such a good job, really, of having him bounce back, and even losing to Dean Ambrose isn't that bad of a thing, really. So, well, yeah, whatever. They still have time. It's the first, second week back? And like you said, they are establishing some type of identity for him.
Yeah, like, I got the story they were telling. Like, at least we always complain about how, you know, matches too predictable, and, you know, how other sports, they have flash, like, you know, flash knockouts and stuff unexpected. Like, this all what happened UFC with Conor McGregor. Like, he got in one shot and boom. So it's kind of like, get what Cole was saying, you know, Kevin Owens landing on his head. He's, you know, dizzy for a little bit, and all it takes is 3 seconds. And, like, Neville strong enough where you can frankly believe that happening. But it's just so ridiculous because it rarely happens on Raw, and usually those type of finishes happen like Survivor Series, when people get pinned after a suplex after like 25 seconds. And we all bitch about that.
Yeah, I guess if they did maybe sell it somewhat more often than they do, it would really help in a situation like this. But I guess I can't even think of the last time that I saw, like, that kind of a cheap pin situation on a Raw.
It's been a while. It's been a long while. I can't remember either, so that's how long it's been.
Yeah. So I guess I can go through that one, and we already went through the Becky Lynch and Sasha saga there.
Yeah, we might as well jump to the beginning. Because I will say this about that beginning segment. I love how Roman Reigns was acting because he was subtle with the little things he was doing. Because everybody was over the top, like Vince McMahon being the icon of white privilege. Like, what do you mean I'm not a big deal? I'm Vince McMahon. Of course you heard me. Of course I'm a big, like, how dare you say I'm unimportant? Like, him and Steph just like jackasses. And before that, with that whole racist 1987 promo, like, I used up your uncle and, you know, you one generation from having a bone in your nose. Like, you can't say that in 2015. Like, ugh.
Yeah, it just seemed horrifically out of place.
Like, this is not 1993, Bill Watts. I'm like, Roman Reigns went to college. He has a driver's license. He wasn't, you know, swinging on a tree and Tom Pritchard found him and put him in NXT. Like, come on. Like, like I heard that line. Like, I knew it was coming because I read your recap. But when I heard it, I'm like, I know Vince is tone deaf. He probably thought he was going to play it like they're going to say, ooh. But I'm like, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, and nobody went, ooh, really. Like, it was just, it was more of like, really? Like, I know this is wrestling, but really? Like, we haven't grown out of this one?
Yeah, like, I know wrestling is steeped in, you know, low rent entertainment. Well, you don't, if you're going to be on a Sports Center and you're trying to be high end now, you can leave some of that stuff away. Like, it cracks me up how Vince always wants to be, you know, we're sports entertainment, we're not wrestling in these smoke-filled bingo halls. But he'll pull up some 1979 style promo with no problem. Yeah, but when the cops came out and, you know, Vince is getting cuffed and the cops talking, like, Roman's there with the mic. So the cop talking to mics with the fans here, and he's making these little, like, he's being a smart ass, but he's, you know, smirking at him, like, you hear that? Like, you sure you heard your rights? And, like, mouthing them. But he's doing it in a way where it wasn't over the top, like, it was just funny. It wasn't, like, you know, goofy funny. It was, like, funny. Like, look at this lovable. He's basically being a lovable smart ass. And it's hard to do on wrestling because I'm just so used to Cena doing it and just be so over the top and so cartoon like. So seeing Roman do it with nuance is refreshing.
Yeah. Like you said, it, because I don't know if Cena would have done the microphone part, or he just would have been mugging too much the entire time. Like, Reigns is, again, he kind of has that badass quality, so he doesn't feel like he needs to do too much. Because, Brock Lesnar's the same way. Like, he just doesn't have, you know, he has expressions, but, you know, they're somewhat limited, but they're effective because you know that he's going to back it up.
Yeah, like, Brock Lesnar's dog is perfect. Like, he is the king of that. Like, you know, Paul Heyman will just be talking trash and Brock will be there and he'll drop a smirk every now and then, or he'll do a wink or, like, flex his pecs or something like that. Like, you know, like a movie villain. But it just works. Yep. Like, you know what he's doing. And if you're not paying attention, you don't see it. But once you see it, it just fits. And I think Roman Reigns is doing it too. Because at first I didn't even know this, because how he was playing it so smooth. And then I saw, you know, the mic come out of nowhere and start hearing a cop. And you see Roman with a little smirk, like, you know, reading the rights behind him. And that cop saying, you know, if you can't afford an attorney, and I know that doesn't apply to you. And Roman starts laughing. Like, so, and this Steph playing the Reed princess, like, that's my daddy. You got to treat my daddy. Like, it's just, because it's so obnoxious, it's just so perfect, because Stephanie's so easily hateable.
I mean, Vince and Steph are playing their parts well, even if they're, well, at least his part is a bit dated.
Yeah, just a slight bit. I used your uncle for money. He wasn't the brains, you know. He wasn't the brains. No, he was saying something about he was the brains your daddy was worse because your daddy was dumb. Like, I paid him nickels and everything. And I'm just listening to this, and I'm just like, I know what he's trying to do, and they always talk about the importance of the family, but it's a shame where The Rock was the only safe from where that whole Samoan, like, he was Samoan, but ain't getting those Samoan stereotypes. Like, you know, you got the bone in your nose, and you got a hard head, and you used to eat raw fish. It's like, you know, this is your world champion. You don't want him having to think like he's, you know, a Polynesian Tarzan.
Yes, he said Polynesian Tarzan. As usual, the parting shot from the lady as she goes to bed. Wow, you know, it'd almost be more interesting to talk about him at this juncture, honestly. Because his news was pretty big. That the old Rock is going to be at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas.
Yeah. Thanks, Callie, because I was getting on him when he was all puffing his chest out. According to Dave Meltzer, Rock will be too busy to be at WrestleMania. So suck it, you nerds, and stop booking the dream match with Brock Lesnar. I'm like, you really? I'm like, what? You happy about that? Oh, one of the biggest stars in wrestling's not gonna be there. Ha ha ha. Like, you feel good about yourself. So for him to post that, I had to laugh at him. Because he was the one that posted originally wanted to rain on a parade. So it was, yeah.
Well, see, my memory does not go back that far.
Yeah, I only remembered it just because the details behind it. It was probably like a couple months ago when he posted it.
Right.
So to see him post it again was funny. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I was thinking about that, like, you know, The Rock being back. And I was having debates with someone like, who's the best, but who's the bigger WWE star? Is it Rock or Austin?
I don't know. Like, it's just so. I guess I'd lean to Austin, just because I feel like he had more time. But I don't know if he really had that much more time. Is like a good character, like he tells a better story at least because he was on TV longer. As a whole, but I don't know if his peak was any longer than The Rock's. Like, I guess.
I thought about that. I'm like, if you really look at the time, Rock had more time in the top than Austin did. Because, like, it's funny how our memories play with, like, you know, Austin, when King of the Ring, what was that, 96, 97. He's not really a star until WrestleMania 13. When he wrestled Bret Hart, that's when he first started moving up to the main event. And then he beat Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And he beats, you know, he has the whole feud with McMahon and like that. He beats The Rock. Then this, you know, injured, Kane comes back and then wrestles The Rock again, then turns heel. And then next thing you know, he's wrestling Scott Hall at Mania, vanishes for like a good time, wrestles The Rock one more time, and that's it. Like, people forget, like, you know, he was out with neck surgery for a long, like, twice. Like, he had the neck issues when he wrestled Owen Hart after that match. Then he had the whole, when he had to finally have surgery, he was out a long time when Triple H and Rock was holding it down. Like, he probably want to say...
Yeah, so...
Two years? Like, maybe three? Like, total years, ring-wise?
Yeah, it says, at least on, according to the old Wikipedia, that Austin 316 started in 96. And then the feud with McMahon went through 99, and then he got injured. In 99 there. And then he retired in 03.
Yeah, like, it's gaps in that, like, his run. Like, I want to say his peak was probably higher than Rock's, maybe, because I, like, probably was. But Rock probably had longevity. Because just think about it. He he was out for a long ass time and they didn't miss a beat. Like that, and that's when they were like super hot. Like that, like you imagine like if John Cena was out for like a year and a half and Randy Orton was wrestling whoever and the ratings just went up. Like that, you couldn't fathom that happened. Like that happened with them. And then I think what pushed Rock over the top is him coming back. Like he came back from Miami, main event at WrestleMania, you know, 2 years in a row. Like really, you want to say he was part of WrestleMania 3 years in a row. He main evented 2 years in a row. You know, wrestles that whole feud with CM Punk and stuff. But like he's come back and done stuff. Like Stone Cold has come back and ride around on his little scooter and drink. He's not and it's not his fault because he doesn't need to, and he's had injury. I think, and just the fact that Rock has shown up in WrestleMania, like he doesn't need to do this crap anymore. Like he's a real life movie star that has a hit HBO show. He has a show on TNT. Like he's in like 2 to 3 movies every year. Like he doesn't need it.
Now,
why does he keep coming back?
I don't know. Just for one more accolade, like that guy wants to fit everything into life and more. I don't even know how he has the time. Like you said, I think you mentioned last week, he has a kid, and it seems like he's with the woman that had the kid. I don't know how you fit that all in.
Yeah, 2 hours of sleep, basically. Oh, like me and Jeremy talk all the time. Like you see The Rock on Instagram, like, yeah, I wake up 3:45. I do cardio for an hour and a half. I jump on a plane and do this. I'm here. Like he's got Baywatch going on. He's filming second season of Ballers. He's doing this. He's doing that. And like he's gonna show up. And they just say he's gonna be there. You know, I guess they say, well, he's not gonna wrestle. I'm like, I wouldn't put it past him. Like he wouldn't wrestle. Like if he's gonna be there. Is it really that much effort? Why not? Like, if he wants to wrestle, I can see him wrestling, even as long as he's not wrestling John Cena again. Like, the last two times, he's been hurt, and I don't think he want to tear groins anymore. So, just keep away from that klutz, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been done enough that I don't think that they would revisit that. I would hope that it would be somebody else. I mean, there's always the possibility of Triple H just with the fact of the showdown last year. If they don't have some type of a mixed tag team match, which was, you know... everyone thought it was foreshadowed as soon as The Rock and Ronda Rousey did that segment together against Triple H and Stephanie.
Everybody except for Holly Holm, apparently. So, because, no, we all thought, it'd be, you know, that works mixed tag match. You got four legends. You don't have to have Triple H mucking up in the main event. You don't have to worry about people coming out of The Rock still on the spot. People would like that match. And you have Ronda Rousey, like, now it's kind of like, I mean, I guess because she's busy herself with doing movies and recuperating from getting her head kicked off her shoulders. So I don't know if her first thing, because you could just imagine if she showed up at Dallas and those asshole fans and you got knocked out or something like that. Like, I don't think it would play well at Mania.
They would have more of a challenge with throwing that one out there. But, I mean, they could, again, go back to just a singles match with Triple H and Rock if they really wanted to get into a match. And it would get them away from that klutz, as you put it.
Yeah, because when you think about it, that's probably their biggest rival. Like, both of their biggest rivals are each other. It's like Rock, Triple H. Like, Rock's biggest rival is Triple H. Triple H's biggest rival is probably Rock. Like, they have history. And I remember watching both of their Blu-rays. They talked about how, you know, it's kind of like we weren't friends, but we respected each other. And we worked hard. Like, us kind of competing made us better. Like, they used to compete when they first came in. They competed when they were in the Nation at DX, the IC title. Then they competed when they were, like, you know, both going after the world belt trying to prove, like, who's going to follow Austin. But now you don't have to worry about that because, you know, Triple H is a COO and Rock's a rocks to rock, so they have to worry about fighting over a damn spot so they can just have a match. Not worry about that whole ego thing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, it'd be a good match. Like, I never have a problem with Triple H's matches. He has something of a formula, and it works, and, you know, you don't really argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's been doing it long enough, he knows what he's doing at this point. Like, he doesn't have to worry about doing the moonsault and stuff. Like, I'm gonna do my same match. I'm enough of a pro where I know what spots to hit and blah, 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 and it works at this point because I'm part-time and I can get away from Triple H. And it works because those type of, like, I get on fans and people say, oh, nobody wants to see Triple H. I'm like, no, WrestleMania crowds love watching Triple H. Like, I know you guys don't like hearing that because, you know, blah, 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 he's the boss's son-in-law and all that. Like, no, like 80 miles went upgrade from China to Stephanie McMahon. Like, let's get real. So it's like, you know, push that aside. Like, fans who are coming from Finland and Greece and Japan, like, watching Triple H, they like watching the elaborate, goofy entrances and, like, watching, you know, a perfectly serviceable 15 to 20 minute match from Triple H.
Yeah. I mean, if I end up seeing that, I would not argue myself. I will not be like your typical internet fan. That's why we're here.
Triple H coming in, he's taking Daniel Bryan's spot. Like, Daniel Bryan might not have a career. So, forget a damn spot. Like, give him a neck. Have him call Peyton Manning and take care of that. Stop blaming Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, that one's just kind of sad, whatever's going on with him, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's called years of indie abuse combined with all that WWE stuff just catching up. Just think about, like, he took time off when he was in the indies because of injury and stuff like that. And, like, that ROH style burns people out. So, and he's not the biggest guy. So you can just imagine, you know, all the wear and tear he's had and stuff. And it's kind of like, it's a shame. Like, he finally gets to the top and his body falls apart.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, it just sucks if that ends up being the case. And I mean, wow. I mean, the WWE might finally be, with Reigns, might finally be placing someone in that spot, I guess. And I think we mentioned that last week too, so no need to revisit. Okay, well, since, I don't know, is there anything else to say about The Rock?
No, like, you know, kudos that we're both going to WrestleMania, we'll see him, but curious to see what his role, you know, what his role will be, and it's like, that's it, like, The Rock's awesome, thank God The Rock loves wrestling.
Yeah, he'll make the ticket worthwhile, if nothing else.
Yeah, I just want to say this, it's just ironic how, when he first came back, people complain about how The Rock's part-time and he really doesn't love wrestling stuff. And CM Punk was one of the biggest people to make those complaints. And now it's 2016 and The Rock's going to be at WrestleMania and CM Punk won't be. How about that? And John Cena just came back because he was busy doing movies and stuff, enjoying life. And he's going to Rock tomorrow, I'm always here and you're Mr. Part-Time. And now John Cena's Mr. Part-Time. It's like, it's funny how life works.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand the stance that, in some ways, at least, that Punk made, but, yeah, I mean, he was another one that I actually did just think the other day, I'm like, oh, has he come back from his injury yet? Is he ever gonna fight?
Maybe, only if you bought a video game. I know it's on a new video. I mean, I don't even want to get into that rabbit hole because I'm not a CM Punk fan. I'm like, I don't mind. He can do whatever he wants. Like, kudos to him. If you make money, that's fine. And if you stand up what you believe, you can afford to, that's fine too. But it's too much of a, he's too hypocritical. And he's too much of this, too damn pious. And it is, just hear him, you know, when he's going on them about Susan G. Coleman and calling them hypocrites and crooks, and people like, you used to do those straight edge, you know, shirts, and they were in pink, and you was, you know, why didn't you say anything then? Like, you talked about everything else. Why didn't you talk about it then? Like, a lot of stuff he complained about, it just seems kind of hollow. And, like, now, like, you know, like, just that whole, it's funny, like, he complained about people coming and taking spots, and he basically got in UFC because of his name. Like, who he beat? Like, you know, what's his MMA record? Like, at least Batista trained and fought, like, Batista didn't have his first match in, like, the, like, UFC. He fought in, like, some lower class thing.
He started pretty low. They are definitely capitalizing on his name one way or the other. Whether he wins or loses, they know that they're at least getting one decent pay-per-view.
People will spend good money to either see him win or see him get laid out. And it's like, kudos for him for being able to use that, like, use your name, because that's the point of having a name. But next time you complain about somebody using their name to get somewhere, just remember that you did the exact same thing, and shut up.
Oh, man. Well, there is another rock, a New Day rock, that is going around WWE these days. I would say at least another thing that they keep me entertained. They had a bad week or two, but I feel like their performances have bounced back.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely a fan. It's funny because I'm a fan of New Day, and I used to hate the idea of the New Day. So to see them now succeed is just hilarious. And the biggest problem they have is they have to fight that slippery slope. Like, they're popular, but they're heels, and they have to find a way to still get booed. The fans don't want to boo them. Like, they go out their way to try to get booed. The fans kind of play along, like, yeah, I know you playing heel, blah, blah, blah. We still want to cheer you. And it's harder when you're a babyface. Like, at least the Lucha Dragons are kind of, you know, sympathetic because Kalisto is so awesome and so small. I still laugh at Fake Sin Cara just still being there. Like, I know who you are, Hunico. Like, yeah, so... But that's fine, and especially now they have them talk, and it's good, you know, because before, if you wore a mask and you were foreign, you were not cutting promos. And so I think they probably have ideas for Kalisto, because I think he has, and they keep pushing that TLC match and that Slammy, because that move, he hit off the ladder, was insane. And I like to make how important it is.
Yeah, they are certainly selling that, and I think hopefully this will be the first time. I've been saying it for a while. Like, these poor guys, the Lucha Dragons, they kept on getting cut off to having a singles match with New Day. The Dudleys came in the first time, then the Usos come back, and they get in these three-way matches. And they didn't have any time to get any type of character going.
Yeah. I think now it's going to be when they finally have a match. And I think Sin Cara hurt his shoulder. Like, because I saw the match and they kept pointing out how he landed. I think reading online, like, he really hurt his shoulder. So Kalisto might be going solo for a while, which might be great for him and bad for Sin Cara. Because I think Kalisto probably is the closest thing they have to, like, Rey Mysterio Jr. since Rey Mysterio Jr., like, if they want to push him that way, because he's awesome in the ring. Like, he does things no one else can do. He's sympathetic because he's so damn small, and he can talk, more importantly. And that's important. So, that, I think that's the biggest thing holding Neville back, is, like, Neville looks like a, like, somebody from Lord of the Rings, and he talks that way. And Vince just looks at him like, you know, like, Neville is awesome, but he just looks funny, and you know how they are about that. Like, even Daniel Bryan had to go through that stuff, and Daniel Bryan speaks unaccented English, you know. When you hear Neville talk, he sounds like a damn goblin. Vince is not going to push some 5'7", muscled-up guy that talks funny. The last guy that was like that was Chris Benoit, and you saw how that ended up.
Oh, out. Yeah, he doesn't quite wrestle like Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it is that accent that he has. I don't know, because he's not Scottish. He's English of some variety, right?
I thought he was Irish.
Oh, okay. Now I've got to look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, Neville, since you can't have a first name anymore.
Who was I thinking that they kind of dropped one for recently that they've kind of done it subtly, but I can't really think of it.
Oh, yeah, he's from the United Kingdom. I thought he was, like, Irish or something, but he's from Tyne, England.
Yep, because, I mean, that accent, like, I mean, it's completely different than Wade Barrett's.
Yeah, or Regal's.
Oh, yeah, or Regal's. It is really harsh, and...
Because Barrett's is kind of, like, Regal sounds like, you know, James Bond English. Barrett sounds like soccer goon English. Neville sounds like a damn monster. Like, half the time, I couldn't... And it also, like, you know, I look funny, and I look really funny, but I can't go in the ring, and I'm like, I need to turn my subtitles on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know he's speaking English. It's just... And have an accent. You know, Sheamus has one, and they got, you know, Rusev. They got enough foreign... It was enough foreign people. Because look at Becky Lynch, because she sounds like Andrew Luck, but you can make out what she says. So with her ridiculous, like her whole deep voice self, like I laugh when she talks too. But yeah, Neville is just, he has a lot of hurdles to overcome. Mr. Manic Gravity forgot.
Andrew Luck talks like her?
Andrew Luck talks like Andre the Giant. Have you ever paid, like, it's a joke, like, you hear Andrew Luck talk, like, he looks like a caveman, and he talks like, oh, I just played a good game here, and we drove down the field, and we're just going to worry about next week when we play Pittsburgh, and I'm going to do my best.
Like, yeah, like, maybe those couple of games that the Colts have played, the Steelers, I've heard him talk, but that it's a pretty limited exposure, I must admit.
Oh, well, it's noticeable. Like, you know, he with that Confederate general beard and that voice, like, look, it's a character.
Well, I've always appreciated the work that he puts into his neck beard.
Yeah, work, or you mean genetics. Because he probably woke up like that. So when I heard Becky Lynch talk for the first time, I was like, what's going on? Because, you know... Like, because Charlotte has, like, you know, some bass in her voice, but she sounds like they've got the octave to, like, in the negatives. Like, her voice is funny, too. And it's funny, her probably on a local piece. Like, you know, when I was home, I moved to New York, I was a bartender in Hell's Kitchen, and I broke a can and a box. They're like, you don't get your eyes there. You are not a native daughter of Brooklyn. Because you worked there for 4 years, like, you're from Ireland, you sound like you're from Ireland, you got that horn. I didn't know they had hair that color. like if you, like, I watch her on my TV, and it's just so distracting, because it's not even red. Like, she wears red boots, her hair is orange.
Yeah,
like,
it's, literally it is an orange with just a tad of red in it. And, I don't know. I guess I like it, so I'm not going to argue.
I mean, it stands out, and it's funny when Sasha Banks knows with her, and she got that brown. You know, like, they have, you know, the bright red. Eva Marie's got that weird red hair. Like, she has damn color hair. Like, you know, when you see that Dragon Ball Z. So, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just because I think I agree with you. He just, even if he's doing a good promo, it doesn't come off well, just by how harsh that accent is. At least, well, and it maybe helped that I had Irish cousins that Becky Lynch makes sense to me. So, yeah, she does kind of have an interesting accent, I guess. She has a very Irish accent.
And they haven't done him any favors, like pairing him with The Miz. And it's almost like something out of like Vince Russo would think of. I'm going to use you to learn to actually be the new James Bond. Like, I know that's something ridiculous that Miz would do, but if you just read that, like, if you're not a wrestling fan, and my wife, because my wife watches wrestling, but she don't follow. So if she came in and she heard, and I explained that, here's the storyline. So you got this wrestler named The Miz that, you know, dresses like he's in the Fifth Element. And his master plan for his career is to hang with this guy so he can pick up his accent. So when they cast a new James Bond, he has a chance. How does that sound?
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. And I mean, it's not coming off good either. I mean, and it is funny. Like, I guess... in some technical senses, there's nothing wrong with it because they are kind of following the douchey stuff that The Miz would do. And I guess there's some logic to it, I guess, just because James Bond is supposed to be, well, Roger, no, not Roger Craig.
Yeah, like, it makes... See, it makes sense on a meta level because that's something The Miz character would do.
Right.
And he's harebrained enough to think something like that. But when you just step... That's the whole thing. When you have to watch wrestling, you have to watch with a wrestling mindset. You can't watch with a common sense mindset. That's why I always get on fans when they say, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, nothing about wrestling really makes sense. So I can understand there's a limit to suspension of disbelief, but if you can't let certain stuff slide, you shouldn't watch WWE. Because otherwise, you're just going to blow your brains out.
that's not to excuse
WWE from doing stupid stuff. Like, if it's stupid, that's fine. But, I mean, wrestling's inherently, like, baby faces are inherently morons. And I made this joke with somebody, like, people say, oh, how come this and that happened? I'm like, how did Macho Man and Hulk Hogan break up? Like, they had VCRs back then. Trying to tell me Macho Man didn't rewatch the tape to see what happened, like, oh, I'm sorry I overreacted, Hulk. Like, it's already established that doesn't happen. So when people complain about nobody talked it out, so like, or the whole fourth wall, something like, they don't. Let's accept it, because if they did, you wouldn't have, you know, Evolution would have never broke up. Or if they would, they would have broke up a long time ago. It's like, people don't rewatch. They don't watch those DVDs and say, oh, so that's what happened. I guess I overreacted.
But I always do appreciate that they talk about watching game tape on their opponents. And I'm just like, okay, if they watch stuff on their opponents, then why didn't they watch the other parts?
Yeah. Like, I know this guy.
Because they do acknowledge the existence of him.
Yeah, like, they say I scouted him, I watched tapes and stuff like that. But it's like, you didn't watch last week when such and such grabbed the rope or tripped you up. Instead, you blame your partner. Like, you didn't hear Cole when, like, they don't, I guess it's like football players who, like, football players play, they don't watch games, they just play the games. It's like, you didn't hear Michael Cole explain what happened later on. So it's just this weird universe they kind of live in where,
yeah.
But the worst part is, like, sometimes they do acknowledge it. And that's what drives people crazy, like, oh, you know, I found out what happened last week and everything, and we talked it out and stuff, and let's go on. It's like, sometimes they decide to do it, and sometimes they don't. And I think that's what drives people crazy. Like, that part I get.
Oh, yeah. I would say that most of the time they don't acknowledge it. In the rare times they do, it's just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. You know, we talked for almost an hour. We haven't even talked about the return of John Cena yet. And I always want to say this. When John Cena came out and they're doing the John Cena suck, and he's just dancing to it and just laughing his ass. You can tell he's like, you know what? I'm at a point in career where I don't, like, I'm John Cena. I'm going to get paid. I don't care how they act. I'm just going to play along with it. So do what you want.
Well, and why wouldn't he? He was in the main event.
Yeah.
It's just like, guys, you can do that, but I'm here for a reason.
Yeah, like, you know, he's... And you know what's the funny thing? What was it, a couple weeks ago in Boston, they were chanting, "We want Cena" at the pay-per-view. Is like, you guys like John, like, this, like, he's there for a reason. And John Cena's almost at that whole Undertaker Triple H stage where it don't really matter what I do. I'm the man. I'm going to have my matches and whatever. I'm going to go play. Like, I don't have to get you guys to cheer me anymore. Like, that's your sale. Because more than likely, Roman Reigns is going to be the man. Like, they've been looking for, like, 6 years, and they finally, more than likely, found him. So, like, John Cena can relax, more or less. And he definitely looked like a guy that was, like, enjoying life and relaxing, even though his girlfriend is going through her own, like, issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, that, I mean, that just sucks for her. You know, there's nothing fun about those. And, well, and I guess I'm still trying to get back to Cena, but, well, yeah, I mean, there isn't really anything else to say about Nikki Bella. I mean, I guess I'm not really going to miss anything in the Divas division if Nikki Bella does not come back.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the world's only Nikki Bella fan, because I liked her. It's funny, because she was the heel that got cheered by people. And I like how she actually got better in the ring, but she's never going to get credit because she's John Cena's girlfriend. And that move she does, I can see why she herniated this. Like, yeah, doing that over and over again, like dropping that, you know, dropping a bunch of weight on your neck and shoulders from a position of height quickly over and over again. Like, it's the kind of stuff that you take for granted. You don't think about how long. Yeah, when you do wrestling moves, sometimes they hurt. And sometimes they hurt you. Like, Hulk Hogan can't walk right because he fell on his ass 300 times a year for like a decade from that leg drop. It's like, you don't think right. about it until you actually think about it.
Well, and I guess I didn't think about it being from her finisher. And I didn't... I mean, I definitely think that she improved, but I'm still not really going to miss her either.
Which is fine, because it's kind of like she was almost where she improves, but there were people better than her that were younger than her. So it was kind of like, you know, she could hang with them, but she wasn't theoretically better. And then it was the whole thing where, you know how people feel like, oh, she only got over because blah, John Cena's her, you know, girl, boyfriend. And I always laughed at that, like, you're going to get mad at Nikki Bella because she's dating John Cena, like, or John Cena's so damn dumb. Nikki Bella has him wrapped around her finger, even though he told her, "We not getting married. You're gonna be my girlfriend. Here's this Ranger over Chuck." Like, I always laughed at that. Like, ooh, they went John. If John Cena dated Bailey, they would say it's true love. Cause why else would they date? But pretty people can't date. Pretty people can't be together for some reason. It's like, how dare they?
Well, I guess the interesting thing about that is that, I could have been as guilty, at least in saying that he definitely had some influence on the proceedings. Maybe not complete influence, but I mean, the Bellas were always pushed strongly, pretty much from the time of their jump into the WWE, and then after they came back. So, I guess it's not surprising that at some point when she finally did improve, that they got a run. Well, both of them got a run with the belt, and both of them ended up with their own. Because I feel like Brie hurt herself too.
Yeah,
during her reign.
Yeah, like it's. I think. Oh, yeah, because she had the whole thing with her shin.
Oh.
Yeah, because they have the whole Toby thing. Like, she had a bruised shin, and like, oh, you may never wrestle again. Like, they're going to chop her leg off. Because she had shin splints. But,
Oh, no, but wasn't that Nikki, actually, too?
I'm not See, you know what? I get them confused so many times. I thought Bree, maybe it was Nikki that was hurt the first time. I remember it was something where it was a foot injury and they weren't sure if she was going to come back or something. I don't remember if it was Nikki or Bree. But they all pushed them because, like, you got two twins that wrestle, like, that are women. Like, that's not common. And they, you know, they were having mid-card stuff with Carlito and Primo and everything like that and had this stuff. Then they left and nobody really missed them. Then one day they just came back and you notice Nikki Bella put on 15 pounds of muscle, had a D cup, and Brie Bella got a 8-pack somehow. And so no more. And they still try to pass twin magic. Yeah, Booker T, you know, twisting his head around, trying to, you know, yeah, they're still twins. The shoes look the same. It was like, they don't look like twins anymore. Like, one is 20 pounds bigger and has, like, a cup size, two sizes bigger. Like, don't pass that on because they got the same color boots.
Yeah, they have the same outfits, so they're the same.
Mm-hmm. So, but like John Cena coming back, and like you said in your thing, you knew it was going to end in the EQ because I doubt they're going to have Del Rio drop the belt so soon, like on Raw and stuff. And it's kind of like he's back. They're going to do something with him. You can see like eventually him and Roman Reigns kind of running into each other because it's just it's inevitable at this point.
Right.
How you get to it is the key because it's almost like the top guys almost have to be like face versus face because they don't really have any strong heels for either one of them. Like, Alberto, they're like the League of Nations. No. Like you said before, like, nah.
Yeah, and I mean, they've both, the one absent Bray Wyatt, I mean, they've both had feuds with him already. So, I wouldn't be surprised if that gets revisited, especially Reigns and Bray Wyatt. I mean, they're both probably around for a while, so...
As long as not the Big Show.
Oh, so many people wanting to feel relevant on this show.
Yeah, I'm like... Yeah, we can talk about him before we go. I'm just like... I don't even know how I feel about the Big Show. It's like... I feel even more different than I do about Kane because it's like, what's the point? Like, I'm not mad at him for working, but when part of his gimmick is people want him to retire, then you got something wrong. Like, he's been around for a long time. Like, most of people from the Attitude Era are retired or dead. And he's still there wrestling, like, you know, and...
And I mean, he isn't even like a special attraction wrestler. Like, he's there almost all the time.
He'll take a break here and there, but it's kind of like, what do you, it's worse than Kane. It's like, what do you do with him? Like, he's bigger than, you know, he's going to beat up most people and he's going to lose the top guys. It's kind of like, he's never going to win the belt again. You know, it's like,
yep.
They might build him up for a little bit. Know, have him beat up Mark Henry and something like that to get him strong. Sort of like if Brock Lesnar needs somebody to beat, or if Roman Reigns needs to prove himself, it's kind of like he's the worst version of Randy Orton at this point. the way worse version of Randy Orton. Like, you know, you beat this mini boss and you get to the final level. You know, it's the same guy you fought in like stage 2 and stage 4. Now he's just a different color. That means he's harder. Like, that's the Big Show.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know who he feuds with either, honestly. Like,
a buffet table. I think they set that whole thing up. It's like Royal Rumble time come, and he came out and said, you know, no. I'm not retiring, I'm going to go in the Royal Rumble, be number one. And I know I shouldn't have laughed at R-Truth, because it was so ridiculous, but I did laugh. But I can't help it. Like, him punching himself and falling down, thinking that was going to save him. And, like, even Big Show laughed. He still gave a choke slam. And the whole setup with him and Ryback, because it helps that people actually like Ryback. So I think it was just more like a setup for the Royal Rumble.
Unless... Yeah, which is still ridiculous because, as we already pointed out, he's not winning the title again. So it's just like, great, you're number one. Like, I don't feel like I'm even gonna go, oh my god, he's in the final four.
And like, Big Show's not going an hour, so like, and if he does, it is something like that means something seriously went wrong. If Big Show starts off at one and he's one of the last four, it's like, yeah, whoever booked that needs to rethink that, because Big Show might have a heart attack. Have him at his age and his weight go 55, 60 minutes. He normally sweats after 30 seconds. Like, he would drown somebody. Like, I know you gotta do something different with him, but no, you don't have to do anything different. Let him retire Big Show, be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and be a SmackDown. Him and Mark Ronaldo can do SmackDown. How about that?
That would be so awkward for him to be an announcer. Like, I think he has the skill to do it, but it would just be so weird seeing a man that gigantic sitting at ringside doing Keller.
I mean, Bill Walton did it, so, and as big as for a long time, but yeah, it'd be funny, because Mark Ronaldo's probably, what, 5'7", 5'8", and, like, he's a normal-sized guy. Like, I'm Mark Ronaldo with my partner, the Big Show. Welcome to SmackDown.
They have a hard time getting both of them in the shot at the same time.
Man, oh man. So that was Raw, more or less.
Yes, it was. And that was SGA 335. So for at DeFrango 11, at Shaw Farm D, at Stunt Granny. Oh, yeah, I just need to do the plugs. Fuck it, you can send us out.
Okay, for Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and Chris, you're not getting your spot back. We're out.